from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever in the world's time zones you may reside, each and every one covered by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, filling in this night for George Norrie, who takes a night of vacation off. Congratulations. It's a pretty long haul, 5 days a week, and he needs it, so enjoy it, George. In the meantime, next hour, we will interview the irrepressible, incredible Michio Kaku, Professor Kaku, about the physics of the impossible. My God, what a good show this is going to be. I never thought that I'd see Dr. Kaku write about such subjects, things like, invisibility. Invisibility, telepathy, teleportation, force field, phasers, Star Trek stuff. Particularly teleportation. I just read the book Jumper. I don't know if any of you have read that yet. It's going to be a motion picture. And it's a doozy. It's really a doozy. So if you get the opportunity, like with most things, first read the book. It's out on the shelves right now, called Jumper. And you're really going to enjoy it, and then probably will enjoy the movie less. Who knows? At any rate, all the ABs are well. Art Bell, Asia Bell, Aaron Bell. And so are the three fur bags, all healthy and well. The webcam, tonight's webcam shot, I think you're going to enjoy. It is, it's something a little unusual. Now, Asia is just about in her 10th month. And most of you who have had children will know that around the 10th month, they decide, I'm going to stand up. Moreover, if I can do it, I'm going to walk. And she seems to be in a big hurry to do exactly that. And even though the house has been childproofed, the corners rounded, wall-to-wall carpeting on the floor, inevitably, as they first try to motivate, they fall down a lot. And after about the first two or three lumps on her head, bumps on her head, I decided, this is ridiculous. So I began looking on the web, trying to look for a helmet, a baby helmet. And they don't have them. Well, they do. But they don't have them in the U.S. nearly as I could discern. Every time I got the baby helmet or anything approaching it, I had to go all the way to Europe to get it. I thought, darn. Finally, I gave up, and from London, I ordered a baby helmet. Thing is just featherweight. It barely weighs anything. But now, when she takes a fall, the helmet takes it rather than her precious little head. I just couldn't handle it. Little bump here, little bump there, big cry. So now we have a helmet. And in my opinion, anybody who has an infant who is beginning to stand and walk is out of their minds for not getting a baby helmet. Now, perhaps I'm giving away a $1 million idea here. But if there is not a U.S. distributor, there darn well ought to be. How many accidents are there per year? Many. When you get a little more than a bump. So I feel a lot better about it. She barely even notices it's there, and there's a photograph to prove it. So it took about 10 days to get here from London, but her little head is now protected. Okay. So that's the helmet story. Somebody will be, no doubt, become a distributor here and make a lot of money. Ought to be for sale at Walmart or whatever. Now, if any of you want to get hold of me, I always forget to do this well into the show. So I am Art Bell at mindspring.com. ARTBELL, all run together, at mindspring.com. Or conversely, artbell@aol.com. Either way, it'll get here. Now, in terms of our plans, next month we're going to go to Europe. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to take a cruise to Europe, and as a matter of fact, I believe it even touches the African continent. So we'll be all over the place for about a month. Then back here to the U.S., and then later in the year, somewhat later in the year, back to Southeast Asia. Never a pleasant duty, but let's look at the world news. I have been watching the Democrat primary intensely. It's been very interesting. If Hillary Rodham Clinton is feeling any heat at all from the pundits, the party elders, to throw in the towel, you'd never know it. She has crowds, energy level, upbeat demeanor. Looks like she's going to keep going. She says she will keep going. We shall see. Raul Castro says that Cubans can now have cell phones. Now, that had been something that basically had been banned in Cuba. Only Fidel and, you know, his guys had cell phones. Now the average person may have a cell phone. Obama has received something of a boost in Pennsylvania. Look at this. It looks as though he's received an endorsement from Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey Jr., so we'll see if that affects the numbers. Supposedly, Hillary leads double-digit in Pennsylvania, at least up until this. I've got to admit, shy of Ron Paul, that, you know, and I know that's not happening. I think that I'm pretty much of an Obama supporter. I have watched him carefully. I've listened to the speeches. I've watched the sparks fly. Well, I don't know if they're full sparks, kind of half sparks fly between Obama and Clinton. And I think I'm an Obama guy. How about that, huh? President Bush declared on Friday that Iraq stands at a, what he calls a defining moment, as it struggles to put down heavily armed Shiite militias in yet new flare-ups of violence that threaten to undercut whatever security gains and sway his decision about U.S. troop drawdowns it may bear on. In Baghdad, they're attacking the supposed safe green zone. Not good. So it had been going a little bit better, and now it's not going quite so well. In a moment, we'll take a look at some of the rest of the news. Bill Broden of Albany, New York says, "Hey, Art, when my wife and I were first married, we baby-proofed the whole house. And I'll be damned if a couple of them didn't get in anyway." Very good. Anybody out there know who started radio? Huh? Anybody? A lot of people are saying KDKA, right? And, oh, I suppose they may have had, there's an argument between KDKA and somebody out in Ohio about who had the first broadcast. But really, it was a ham operator on October 17th of 1919, year of our Lord. Westinghouse engineer Frank Conrad, indeed an amateur radio operator, decides to save his voice by placing a microphone in front of his phonograph and, you know, just playing some records, thus inadvertently producing the first musical radio broadcast. His fellow amateur radio operators urge him to do more. So he begins borrowing records from a nearby music store in exchange for mentioning their names during the broadcast, thus inadvertently creating the first radio commercials. Technically a trade deal, I guess, huh? I would like to note the passing of Sir Arthur C. Clarke. I wasn't on the air as it happened. And certainly a visionary. I think best known for the naming of the Clark Belt. That's right. He envisioned satellites at 22,300 miles up, servicing our needs for television communications and what have you, and it was thusly named the Clark Belt. He also, of course, produced 2001, A Space Odyssey, dead at 90 years of age. So I thought I should say something about that. He lived, you know, in Sri Lanka. Here's a good one. Our country, the United States, has decided to outsource its passports. What the hell's the matter with us? We're going to outsource electronic passports to overseas companies, including one in Thailand that was victimized by Chinese espionage, raising concerns that cost savings, whatever they are, might be put ahead of national security. My God, I can't even read any more of that. We're going to outsource our passports, including a company that screwed up our national security with the Chinese. Oh, my God. I'm really convinced that the good Lord puts us down here on Earth, and we slowly age. And as we age, as we get older, and then older, we get finally more and more disgusted with what's going on until finally at whatever age, 70, 80, 90, 100, whatever, when we're ready to go, we say, Lord, take me. They're outsourcing passports. Take me. Economy's not in very good condition. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night, the economy a little bit. New York is expected to lose about 20,000 financial sector jobs by the end of next year as Wall Street is finally hit and hit heavily by the credit crunch. The city's independent budget office estimated that profits for 2007 are going to sink by some 80%, I guess, PC to the lowest level since 94, due largely to the effects of, yes, the subprime mortgage crisis. How many of you signed up for that? I think Linda reported on it last night. About 220 square miles of ice has simply collapsed in Antarctica. Now, listen carefully here. When the ice melts at the North Pole, no, it's not a big problem, even though it certainly is in the larger sense of global warming. We don't want the North Pole to disappear. But if it does, it doesn't have, you know, dire consequences for humanity. But when the ice begins to go down south, then we're talking about dire circumstances. Scientists say the size of the threatened shelf is about 5,282 square miles of ice. And they say we're in for a whole lot more events, just like this one. That's Ted Scambos, hey? Glaciologist at the National Snow and Ice Data Center at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Scambos alerted the British Antarctic Survey after he noticed part of the Wilkins Ice Shelf disintegrating on February 28 when he was looking at some NASA satellite images. In other words, he looked early and then he looked a little later and he said, my God, there she goes. Well, you see, ice down there is not like, ice cubes in glass. Ice down there is like ice cubes outside the glass that some fool is ready to throw into the glass. This was a story, what I'm about to tell, that actually I think appeared on the Coast to Coast AM website. It was about a brain doctor who had a stroke. A doctor by the name of Taylor recounts the details of her stroke and the amazing insights she gained from it in a riveting 18-minute video of her speech at the Technology Entertainment Design Conference in Monterey, California last month. Her fascinating lecture includes a detailed explanation of the differences between the left and the right sides of the brain, complete with an incredibly cool prop, a real human brain. On a December morning in 1996, she woke up with a searing pain behind her left eye, the beginnings of a hemorrhagic stroke. As the left side of her brain shut down, she began to feel disconnected from her body, entered what she calls an almost euphoric-like state. It took her a while to make sense of what was happening to her, but after all, she's a brain scientist. As her right arm became paralyzed, it dawned on her, I'm having a stroke. How many brain scientists have the opportunity to study their own brain from the inside out? Said she, in the course of 4 hours, I watched my brain completely deteriorate in its ability to process all information. On the morning of the hemorrhage, I couldn't walk, talk, read, write, or recall any of my life. Her account of the experience of the stroke is certainly vivid. At one point, she recalled, she felt like someone had taken a remote control and hit the mute button. I was shocked to find myself inside a silent mind, if you can imagine that. But apparently, she could still consider the process. What is so surprising about her story is that she experienced a sort of euphoria as she was left with only right brain functions. She lost all her sense of self, but she also shed the stress of her whole life, and as she puts it, 37 years of emotional baggage. Imagine that. Knowing that the very thing you study is happening to you. Sounds like Ed Dames, but a dangerous new fungus with the ability to destroy entire wheat fields has now been detected in Iran, according to the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization. The wheat stem rust, whose spores, that's right, spores, are carried by wind across continents, was previously found in East Africa and Yemen, and has now moved to Iran. One more item, if I might. I thought this was really pretty interesting, actually. About gun control. Two illegal aliens, Ralph Resende, 23, and Enrico Garza, 26, probably thought they'd easily overpower Home Alone 11-year-old Patricia Harrington after her father had left their two-story home. Seems the crooks never learned two things. One, they were in Montana. A lot of guns in Montana. And Patricia had been a clay shooting champion since she was 9. Patricia was in her upstairs room. Two men broke through the front door of the house. So she ran to her father's room, grabbed his 12-gauge Mossberg 500 shotgun. Zendez was the first to get up the steps. He caught a point-blank blast, buckshot, suffered fatal wounds to his abdomen and genitals. When Garza ran to the foot of the stairs, he took a blast to the left shoulder, staggered out into the street. He bled to death before medical help could arrive. It was found out later that Resendez was armed with a stolen .45 caliber handgun that he apparently had taken from another home invasion robbery. The victim that time, 50-year-old David Burian, not quite so lucky. He died from stab wounds to the chest, but 11-year-old Patricia Harrington put a stop to that little crime spree. One thing you don't do here in the West, anyway, is break into somebody's home. On the Wild West. Now, I draw the line short of the California border, but anywhere to the east of that, and, well, I don't know. I'd have to look at a line going toward the east. You just don't mess around. People out here, almost all of them, well, not all, but nearly all, have guns. You can pretty well depend on finding a gun in every house, and pretty much somebody willing to use it if they have to, even at 11 years of age. All right, very quickly, I will recite what will be given to you in a minute or so anyway. West of the Rockies, if you'd like to call in, say something, open lines, unscreened open lines, 800-618-8255, anywhere east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. That's 1-800-825-5033. If you're a first-time caller, we love you. And we'll pay special attention to your line, which is area code 818-501-4721. That's area code 818-501-4721. And, of course, wildcard lines, we have many of those at area code 818-501-4109, 818-501-4109, internationals, anywhere in the world, 800-893-0903. 3703 from the High Desert. I'm Art Bell. Maybe they ought to call it Department of Homeland Outsourcing. How you doing, everybody? It's going to be a very, very good night, and I'm looking forward to it because Michio Kaku, and by the way, his book, Physics of the Impossible, I'm told, is something like number 18 on the bestseller list already, and I'm just hearing about it. I'm sure many of you are just hearing about it. So it climbed that list awfully quickly. We'll be right back. Sharon from Aptos, California says, hey, Art, I don't know if the helmet's a good idea for Little Asia. I wonder if it might be important for the physiological development of the human body to fall and go boom. Since we all go through that, maybe you can ask Dr. Kaku about the science of babies falling. There's no way, Sharon, that I think it can be a good idea. The human brain sort of sits on, a few little sort of physiological, shock absorbers. And I know it can go back and forth a little bit, but I just can't believe it's a good idea, nor an aid to development. But what do I know? I just, I hated seeing the little bumps. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Good.
Sorry.
That's quite all right. What is your first name and where be you?
My name is Dag, and I'm calling from Kingman, Arizona.
Welcome.
Hi. Today I wanted to talk about, I heard that Linda Moltenhau was talking about spheres last night.
Spheres?
UFOs.
Yes.
And we've had quite a bit of them here in the Kingman area.
Have you personally seen a sphere?
Yes, many times.
Many times?
Many times.
And what do they do, hover and then take off, or what?
Hover, they disappear. I've seen it jump from one place to another. Seen a lot of strange things here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd almost be willing to bet a subprime nickel that they're down here observing the craziness going on this planet right now. And I doubt they like what they see, which probably accounts for their disappearing.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. I can't guess why they're here. It's just, it's pretty crazy to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you suddenly see, if you suddenly see something like the ocean's rising suddenly, Noah-like, and then perhaps you can conclude they didn't like what they saw. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
It's good to talk to you, Art.
And to you as well.
With Dr. Kaku coming on, would you ask him, if our whole universe became one large black hole, and from a universe beyond a distant region, another black hole would come in, either a regular matter or antimatter, and they would come together.
Mm.
What distinguishing thing would there be between the original Big Bang that we talk about?
Okay, I will ask. Certainly there would be a Big Bang. You would never hear it, but there would be a Big Bang, all right? And most of what we know would simply instantly cease to exist. I suppose we could speculate about, exactly how big the bang would be, but that's probably all it would be speculation. It would depend on the size of the black holes, and I don't know that we've ever actually measured the energy from two black holes colliding, had that opportunity. Our wildcard line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Yes, hi, Art. I'm out here in Long Beach, California. My name is Phil.
Yes, Phil.
And, yesterday morning about 6:30 a.m., I'm in the flight path of Long Beach Airport, and I can usually differentiate between commercial airlines and C-17, but 6:30 yesterday morning, I heard this rumbling sound, but it didn't sound like C-17. I went out in the backyard, and it was this gigantic, looked like a foreign, to me, I thought it was a foreign, immediately foreign cargo, like military and airship, and it had like 16 wheels. Well, I called the airport, and as it turned out, it was Russian Antonova.
Oh, those things are gigantic.
Yeah, and they landed. So I asked Lee, I said, you know, what's a Russian military jet landing in Long Beach for? And she said, well, they're delivering parts of the sea launch. Well, the sea launch is based out of in the port of L.A., and it launches, goes out of the ocean, the equator, and it launches satellites into space.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, what are they? She says, they're bringing parts. I said, well, what kind of parts? She goes, well, it's classified. And then she stopped herself really quick. She says, well, you know, they won't tell us. They won't give us any information. And then later on last night, I see this article about Bush. The article was the effect that Bush says that missile deal is possible, and it shows a picture of him shaking with hands with Vladimir Putin. I was thinking, well, maybe they already struck the deal, and you know, in exchange for the missile defense system being deployed in Czechoslovakia, they're going to launch some Russian satellites for Putin. But I just wanted your take on that.
I don't really have a take on it. As a matter of fact, that's the first I've heard of it. Sea launch from an equatorial position has always been something that's been considered. I certainly didn't know it was being deployed. And it is a little unsettling, certainly, to see Russian transports flying over your head. Maybe it's something we're going to have to get used to. Oh, hell. Maybe they're carrying passports. Wild card line, you're on the air, Lo.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
I'm LA. Hi, Bob.
Wow, you know, it's amazing since your life has turned around and you have the new one, you sound 20 years younger.
Well, I feel 20 years younger.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about getting old. You make it way in your 90s.
Well, you never know. I mean, my mom is still going strong, and she's way into her 90s, so there you are.
There you have it, yeah. So I know when you went to retirement, you're thinking, man, I don't want to die on the radio. I want to have some fun. So.
Well, I mean, dying on the radio wouldn't be that bad. But, yeah, I want to have some fun is true.
Yeah, I know it is. I'm only like 40-something. I'm still thinking about retiring. You don't think it's seriously. I don't want to die at work. And that's the worst thing to do.
I was worried that they'd figure a way to sever my head, put it on a box, stuff it in front of a microphone, and keep me eternally here.
Hey, maybe. They could probably use your brain hooked up to a computer and keep you going forever.
You see, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's funny. Maybe by then they'll probably be able to do that. But why I called in is about the 2008 election. It's sort of interesting. I talked to a lot of friends about that, and we're pretty much convinced Bush is going to be in again for 4 years.
In other words, McCain. I really actually like John McCain. I've always liked John McCain. But I would have liked to have seen John McCain achieve that office last time.
Yeah. You know what? He's a war hero. He looks good. He speaks well. He holds himself well. And he'll restore, you know, the White House, you know, dignity back. You know, not too many people respect Bush because he's too stiff.
You know, I've got to tell you, I like Obama. I think Obama honestly has a chance to bring this country together in a way that nobody has done since John Kennedy.
Yeah, I agree. He's very, as they say in the Senate, they say he's very clean. He has a very clean background. He really hasn't been involved in anything negative. He's had a good family life. He's written a bunch of nice books. So he's a clean candidate. And yes, sure, he would be a great president and really be a big change, a lot of history there.
Well, I think this country could use a little uniting right now.
Definitely, yeah. And a lot of these countries, that they take it personally that when we attack a Muslim country, for instance, you know, they always want an eye for an eye, to thinking it's a racial thing. When we, you know, attack their country, it's a religious thing or racial, whatever. But if we have a president that has some background, that has some ancestry that's Islamic, you know, a Muslim, then, you know, a lot of these other...
So then we can go to war and it won't seem racial. That's cool. We're very much a warrior-like people, you know. And I don't know that the color or the background of the president we have will make very much difference to those attacked. Of course, we might have a slightly different policy. Who knows? First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, I'd like to get on with Art.
How you doing?
Hello?
Hello?
I'd like to get on with on the show.
Glad to have you.
What's that?
I said glad to have you.
Okay, I'm a first-time caller.
I've got that. Go right ahead. You see, I guess you don't know. You're on the air now, so go ahead.
I'm on the air now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What I want to explain is something. The reason why I'm also for Barack was because I think he's going to bring up in the debate that when this administration was having Saddam as a puppet for many years, giving him billions of dollars in military and everything, as long as he behaved, they couldn't express how many people he was torturing or murdering in his country and all that. And then when he disobeyed is when they decided to go after him for quote-unquote weapons of mass destruction.
No, that's a good point. I mean, we went after him anyway, and apparently the trips that are now in the news that he provided to some lawmakers to go to Baghdad before the war just didn't count for anything at all. I mean, look at what we did. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Nick from Rock Rapids.
Hey, Nick.
I had a kind of a comment and a question. You know, everybody's looking at how this housing market really affected the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered why none of George or your guests has ever mentioned the fact that with the subsidies that they got on grain, you know, corn and whatnot.
Yes.
What's going to happen when the subsidies run out and corn falls from $5 to $2 again?
I'm not really sure. What makes you think it'll drop? If they kill the subsidies, it's going to go up in price, not down.
Well, if they kill the subsidies for the ethanol.
Oh, you know, I see. And then they'll be growing more.
Dropping down.
I see.
And, you know, ethanol is fueling the demand for corn right now. If they drop the subsidies to the ethanol market will drop out on buying corn, and the farmers that are taking out huge loans right now are going to go bankrupt, and that's going to totally shoot the economy.
I see. So first it's people's homes, and then it's going to be the farms, and then it's going to be our tummies.
Yeah.
Got it. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me anymore. I mean, after the passports, anything.
Yeah, even with the ethanol right now, you know, it's driving up the price of corn. Farmers aren't planting as much corn. So now they aren't planting as much corn, and the price of everything else has gone up. Flour's gone up. Milk's gone up.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, put simply, I'm not talking about a recession or depression or whatever it's going to be. We're in just in big trouble right now. It was forecast by many. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night's guest in the first hour is going to be talking all about that. He forecast it many years ago, right on this program. Michael Shedlock forecast it right on this program. And so we'll have him back. We like to do that with guests who have a great deal of success in forecasting something. Even if it's somewhat in the negative category, if they're successful, then they deserve another shot. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning. Turn your radio off, please. That's number one. Turn that radio off. Okay.
What's up?
All right. And your first name?
Brian.
Welcome to the program, Brian.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Wow, you're a legend, sir.
I really would prefer not to be thought of that way.
I'm sorry. I've been listening for a while, and your show is fascinating. I've been listening, you know, very carefully.
And what have you derived from your listening?
The government is not, you know, not about us. It's about them.
No.
You know, I'm not real sure about Obama.
You're trying to say they're out for themselves?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Lining their own pockets at the expense of ours?
Of course.
What?
It's 1984,
notion
sir.
For you.
It's 1984, sir.
Big brother.
Yo, of course.
Well.
Cell phones. And the computers.
So what are you going to do? You're going to make it through all this? You're going to make it to the other side?
Well,
or will you succumb and be shuffled off to a re-education camp, sir?
Well, sir, I work for a very large company.
Ah.
The largest company, largest retail company in America.
Oh, you do? Do you?
Yes, sir. And you know. They're making a lot of rule changes. They got RFID
mm-hmm.
installed in the dock bays.
I've got some advice for you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Don't get sick.
Don't get sick.
Don't get sick. That's my advice. You work for that big company. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Howdy.
Well, I haven't spoken to you since you said you were heading east.
Yeah, that was a while ago, huh?
Yeah, and you want to hear something really amusing. I had it in my mind that you were coming to Texas to, I'm located here in Texas, that you were going to personally investigate the two gentlemen who said that they shot a Bigfoot.
Right. Well, I said east, and I, perhaps I meant to confuse a little bit. I just didn't say how far east.
Uh-huh.
No, I will not go to Texas. I will not interfere with Bugs until I get the word from Bugs that he's ready. And I think that may never occur.
Well, one thing, and I'll let you go. I want to thank you for having a Robert Zimmerman on.
Oh, yes.
He was advocating a building ships for various purposes instead of concentrating on the space station.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something we really need to do.
Well, it looks as though the space program in total is in trouble. I mean, real trouble. There's going to be... You may recall I interviewed Mr. Bigelow, and he's absolutely correct. There's going to be a number of years that the U.S. doesn't have any way, really, to get into space or to get men into space. And during that period of time, we're going to virtually have to hand the keys to the International Space Station to the Russians. And I hope they don't change the locks. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, it's Carmen from Victoria, B.C., Canada.
Hello, Carmen.
It's an honor to speak with you. I just had a question. I wanted to know if you were ever going to do an update show on Mel's Hole.
Well, actually, I did a couple of update shows on Mel's Hole, Mel's Second Hole. Perhaps you missed those.
I probably did.
There is something absolutely irresistible and fascinating about big, deep, endless holes in the ground.
It is, yes. That, and I remember the other show that you did, and there apparently they put a microphone down and they heard screaming sounds.
That wasn't a show I did. That was a story that ran on United Press International.
Ah.
And it was, of course, a recording that I received as well, which just scares the pants off people.
It was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the first show I ever heard, was the one about Mel's Hole about 13 years ago, and then I've been hooked ever since, so...
You know that we don't really understand what's beneath our feet, what's really way down there. We don't know.
Exactly. If we don't know what's above us, we don't know what's below us.
We actually know more about what's above us than what's below us.
Yeah. But okay, well, I will just keep listening, and maybe you'll do a show in the future.
Perhaps I will. Well, both of the things, both what's above us and what's below us, get more attention than, feet on the ground here. You ever wonder about that? If an airliner goes down, oh, that's big headlines. If something happens in space, even though it involves only a few people, that's gigantic headlines. If a little baby falls down a well or in some seemingly irretrievable place in the ground, that's big news. But if 55,000 people die on America's highways, that's just pedestrian stuff from the high desert. The Great American Southwest. I'm Art Bell. Michio Kaku coming up next.